Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We could have the photos on, please. In the old days when we didn't use this, we never had this kind of a problem. There's something to be said for the good old days, yes. One second. Yes, it is. There we are. Our text comes from the gospel lesson that we read previously, where Jesus says, "As often as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you have done it unto me." In our gospel lesson, Jesus begins by saying, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on the throne of his glory." I don't know what your image of heaven is like. To see Jesus on the throne, that probably does not fit what we have in mind. You know, I saw some paintings of angels sitting on the clouds, strumming on their harp. Now, if they're doing that for all of eternity, that sounds kind of boring. But I know the Apostle John, in the Revelation of John, he says, "Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth." So when Jesus comes again to judge the living and the dead, according to John, he has this vision, and I think it fits closer to what I see as heaven. Maybe the Garden of Eden restored. And one reason I feel that way is because you remember when Jesus was on the cross, he had the two thieves there, one on the left and one on the right, and one of them says, "You know, Jesus, if you're the Son of Man, come down from the cross and save us." And the other thief says, "You know, we deserve our punishment, but this man is innocent." And then he turned to Jesus and said, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." And the reply of Jesus was, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." I don't know what your image is of paradise. Maybe be with Pastor Dave at some exotic place in Europe right now. But it's really a Persian word. A Persian word. Now, you know, the main language of the Jewish people would have been Hebrew or Aramaic. But go back about 500 years before this. First, the kingdom of Israel was conquered by the Babylonians and the Jewish people taken into captivity. And then sometime later, it was the Persians who were ruling that part of the land. So you had the Jewish people now under Persian law. Now, eventually, the king of Persia allowed the Jewish people to return to Jerusalem, and eventually including Nehemiah and Ezra. But it would appear as maybe there were some words from the Persian language that kind of retained itself in the Hebrew language. Like for you good Germans, if I say Gesundheit, you perhaps know what I'm talking about. So for them, "Today you will be with me in paradise" was a word that was still a part of their language from their previous years in captivity. Well, the word paradise means garden. And so that's another reason why I picture heaven to be as a garden. And we know there are going to be animals there. Isaiah says in his book that the wolf and the lamb will live together, and the leopard and the goat lie down together with the calf and the lion and the yearling, and a child will leave them. So we have that impression, and that's the one I like. Now, I guess we won't know until we get to heaven what it's really going to be like. I'm 83, which means I'm probably older than anyone here, and I might get there before you. If I do, I'll send you a text message to let you know what it is like. Whatever it is going to be a beautiful place, and that's the thing about being a member of the Christian faith, being a son and daughter of our loving God. We know we have a God who loves us. He has prepared a place for us, and it is going to be beautiful. Now, as the gospel continues on, it says he's going to gather all the nations, people of all races, all ethnic group, but he will separate the sheep from the goats. Now, that may not mean anything to you, but the disciples knew exactly what he was talking about. Because if a owner who had shepherds out in the field, the owner was wealthy enough to have both sheep and goats. During the day, they'd do their own thing in grazing. The shepherd just had to watch that they don't wander off. At night, you had to put them in the pen. Number one, because the danger of someone stealing them, or number two, that they might run off on their own. So you had to put them in a pen. But they couldn't put sheep and goats in the same pen. They had to separate them. The goats would get agitated from the wool on the sheep, and they would start bucking them. So they separated the sheep from the goats. Okay, now you understand what Jesus is saying here when he talks about that. But he goes on to say, the sheep are on the right and the goats are on the left. Now again, that may not be a big deal to you, but you need to understand that in that culture, at that time, it was the right side that was the place of honor. If you walked into a banquet hall and you saw the head table, the first thing you would do is to see who's sitting on the right of the host. And that was the main person. So you have the sheep are on the right and the goats are on the left, and the sheep are saying, wow, how did we get this place of honor? And Jesus goes on to say, I was hungry, and you fed me. I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. And the sheep are saying, wow, well, that sounds good, but what did we do to deserve that? And then Jesus says, whatever you have done to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you have done it unto me. Why the sheep? Why did the sheep get special treatment? Well, here's the answer in John's gospel. My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. Sheep will respond to the voice of the shepherd, and if they're at a water trough, after they're done, the shepherd just says a few words and the sheep very carefully follow the shepherd. Goats go everywhere. You have to kind of herd them together. So that's why Jesus chose sheep in his analogy of those on the right, the righteous one. They hear the master's voice and they follow him. Well, that's our task as well. It's not our task, it is our joy to follow our Savior. You were created for a purpose. You were created to love God and to love your neighbor. Well, we know we fall short of that, as we have in our confession. We say we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. What that means in our language today, sometimes we say and think and do some of the awfulest things. We really deserve to be on the side with the goats, to suffer eternal damnation. But we have an amazing God who is full of amazing grace. He sent his son Jesus Christ to suffer and die for you and for me, that through faith in him, by the grace of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, we have that hope and joy of eternal life. What an awesome God we have. There was a husband and wife had been married for some years, and the husband suddenly got a romantic thought in his mind, and he took a piece of paper and he wrote the letters S-H-M-I-L-Y. We can call it Smiley. It's not a real word, but it goes with that. So he took this piece of paper and he put it in one of the shoes of his wife. And it was a couple weeks later before she wore that particular pair of shoes. And she found the note and she wondered, what does this mean? And then he explained to her what the letters meant. Well, through the rest of their marriage, they kind of alternated. Like the wife then took a same little note and put it in his winter coat pocket, and it was months before he wore that coat, and that's how they alternated through the rest of their marriage into their retirement years. And then Grandma got sick and passed away. They're at the funeral home, and you have friends and guests there, and as the evening came to an end, the friends and guests went home. The children and the grandchildren walked up to the casket to pay their last respects, and then Grandpa came up to stand beside them, and the children and the grandchildren backed away, letting Grandpa all alone with his thoughts. And after a couple minutes, he reached into his pocket, took out a little piece of paper, and tucked it into the casket. Now the children and the grandchildren knew exactly what he put into that casket. Our Lord Jesus Christ, when he was crucified hanging on the cross, Pontius Pilate put a sign on the cross which was written in Hebrew, Latin, and Greek, and the sign said, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. But you know, there could have just as well been another sign on that cross which would have the word Smiley. Because Jesus, as he's hanging on the cross, lets us know, see how much I love you, Smiley. See how much I love you. Our Lord loved us so much, he willingly went to the cross to nail our sins on that cross. So now we have that hope and joy of forgiveness. And when he rose from the dead, he has assured us that he indeed has a place for us in heaven. So our role here on this earth is to show that love. God loved us so much, he sent his son to suffer and die. How do you respond to that marvelous love? Well, we show it in the way we treat others here at St. Paul. I'm sure there are some of you, when someone is ill, you may take meals to them. That's a part of what Jesus is talking about. Here in your community of Brown Deer, the greater community of Milwaukee, and all over the world, people you will never see, they will never know what you did for them to say thank you, but God knows. Those little acts of kindness is what is expected of us as our response to the great love of God. So again, as often as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you have done it unto me. That's the scripture verse for food for the poor. Food for the poor feeds about 1 million people a day, 5 days a week, in 17 Caribbean and Latin American countries. They're the eighth largest humanitarian organization in the United States, but by far the most efficient. Almost 95% of the gifts given go directly to help the poor. So only a little over 5% goes for salaries and marketing and those kinds of things. Well, you go to these countries and you see horrendous conditions. In Jamaica, this is pretty common. People finding corrugated rusted metal on a garbage dump and try to make a shelter out of it, and you can see it's not going to do a whole lot of work. This is a very typical scene in Haiti, just taking bamboo branches and trying to knit them together, and then covering them with mud, as you see in the background there. And here's a widow lady waiting for some help, for someone to put some mud on hers to kind of keep out some of the water anyway. In these places, families tend to be large. It's a cultural situation. I won't go into that. But here you have a Haitian mother with five children, all living in one of those little bamboo huts that is covered with mud. I want to call your attention to the girl in the middle in the green dress. Notice the color of her hair, that orangey color. That's not the natural color of a Haitian person. The natural color is what the mother has, that coal black hair. But you see this color of hair in hundreds of thousands of children in these countries, and it's a sure sign of malnutrition due to protein deficiency. Don't pay any attention to that man. That's not his natural color either. But here's what the house looked like when it's done. They train Haitians to pour the cement slab and then put in the cement blocks there. It's only 800 square feet, typically two rooms. But I got to tell you, even though there's no electricity there, and it's hot in those countries year round, so there's no air conditioning, etc. They can get solar panels now from China for about $125. So they store enough energy for light at night and for cooking purposes. But I can tell you this. These people appreciate that house more than any of us appreciate ours because, you know, we are just accustomed to it and take it for granted. Thank God you live in the United States. That's the only reason we have financial benefits that these people don't have. They're really spiritually minded people. They're hardworking people. They just don't have the resources that we have here. So they are so grateful for a house like that. But food is still the number one item. It's so sad to go to these garbage dumps and to see children scampering up there looking for food. See the little girl here. This is Honduras, where crying there. So that's a factor. So finding children who are just skin and bones and taking them under their arms. Here's one of the many feeding stations you see. This one is also in Haiti. Notice the woman there in the pink hat. She's got in front of her a yellow bucket and a white bucket. These are 2-gallon buckets. With one bucket, they come through and they get it filled with rice and beans, which is a primary source of food. And then there's kind of a big vat of a stew they fill the other bucket with. And they have to ration this out for their family for the day, but also have to save it for the weekend because it's only 5 days a week. The feeding station is open. Well, about 15 years ago, the board of directors said, you know, we got to help the people help themselves. So they'll have fish farms like this. They'll have a little hatchery right next door. They put the fingerlings in the pond, and when the fish are big enough to eat, they go through with nets to pick them up, and then they start over again. Or fruit trees, or here, jalapeno peppers. You know how Latin Americans love their spicy food. But they have goat farms, pig farms, chicken farms for people to raise their own food. But next to food, water is the most important thing. There's so many places that don't have water that's fit to drink or to cook with, so diarrhea is a huge problem. Fortunately, there are some pharmaceutical companies that give almost $100 million a year worth of drugs like antibiotics for diarrhea or insulin for diabetes or those kinds of things. But for many of them, the only thing they have is what's in a creek or a river. And sometimes those streams and rivers aren't that close. They may have to walk several miles. They go out with these big clay pots on their head to bring the water back for the family. So whenever there's a village of homes and they can drill in and get water, they'll put a well in like this so the people have water that's fit to drink and fit to cook with. Schools are another priority. This is New Testament School in Jamaica. Many of these schools don't have electricity because there's no electricity available. And you know, here, no windows or things like that, just cardboard propped up to try to keep the rain out. I walked in the side of this building and I look up and I see blue sky. And I'm thinking, if I see blue sky today when it's raining, there's going to be water coming down. So a church in Florida raise money to build a preschool for these 3 to 6 year old children. Here's Martin Luther School in Guatemala. We have more Lutherans in Guatemala than any of these countries, and of course we're in fellowship with those Lutheran bodies that are there. So we come back to the words of Jesus, whatever you've done to one of the least of these, you have done it unto me. If you would take out this brochure now in your bulletin, open it up, and if you look at what I'm showing you now, you know, some ideas for gifts. There's a basket in the back there for you to give a gift this morning, either whatever means you have. This tears off. I know that many of you didn't bring a checkbook today, and so this becomes an envelope, the reply card address on there, and the postage is paid, so you can take it home and use your credit card or a check here for whatever. If you, any cash gift goes for food, any you want to designate it for anything that I mentioned there, or you can go on the internet and see a lot of other things. If you write that on your check or a piece of paper, if you'd want it for whatever item it might be, to include that. And so we give you that opportunity. Whatever you're able to do, God will bless you for it. He knows the things that we do, and He has promised us His reward, our reward, when we arrive in heaven. So may God's peace and joy and love be with you always. Amen. And we close then with a benediction. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with you always. Amen. And we continue then with our departing hymn.